try again.
Stream started, and good evening. You're listening to Kayak Fishing Radio. It's Thursday. I think it's July 17th. Holy cow, man. We're way into the summer. The dog days are upon us. The temperatures are just crazy hot, pretty much wherever you go. They're saying don't turn on your AC, well, at least not here, but up north. And, man, I hope the fish are biting somewhere for somebody. They were for me. I see folks in the chat room, a couple of them here in the coming into the studio. Matt's there, Tommy Head Jigs. Matt says it was 104 today last year. So he's good. It's cool, man. You got a kind of a cold front going through there at 98 today. So, anyways, Tommy's like, Tommy posted on Facebook this week that him and I hooked up on Sunday afternoon and went out to our favorite little no-motor pond here in the ATL, just south of the airport, and he let me catch all the fish that day. So he just kind of cast and said, look, I got a bite, and then I would just jump right in and throw a rig in there and catch the fish that he took the bite on, so... Yeah, Tommy, you can redeem yourself on Sunday. Hopefully it's not raining here. We got rain coming in. Let's check in with the in the studio here. Mark Landing Crew Wheeler, host of Wednesday night, The Low Sodium Man, has joined us tonight. Good evening, Mark. How are you?
Doing good, buddy. How are you doing?
All right, man. And we've also got the man with the golden voice, and he sounds a little funny because he's should be on a hands-free device right now, Mr. Becker.
What's going on? that was in honor of Mark, since he didn't do it.
Right, yeah, he
so
didn't do it.
Complete without it, so, yeah, I know.
Hang on. What's going on, Mike?
There it is.
There it is, all right. And also it looks like... a 321 area code must be the man, the beard, the legend, Redfish Chuck.
Yo.
That's him. So we're all in and around and having a good time. Let's see. 119 and 85% humidity. Holy cow. Yeah. Dry heat, yeah, so is the oven. Anyways, Chuck is just back from the dry heat of Las Vegas, and he's going to talk to us and tell us what he saw out at ICAST. I hear there were a lot of kayak fishing out there.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, man. I must say I was pleasantly surprised to see the kayak fishing community represented so well at ICAST 2013. It was probably 75% more vendors at this one than any other ICAST I've ever been to. So it was definitely interesting and pretty cool to see, sure.
And new kayaks, see any? Other than the Predator? I know the Predator debuted.
Yeah, I got to see the Predator before Vegas, but they had a little bit more of a finished model there at Vegas that took best boat or best kayak for the show, which, it was up a new...
You're cutting out, Chuck, or my ears are cutting out.
No, it's Chuck. I can't hear him either now either.
Give me 2 seconds. I'll call you on Skype.
All right, man.
All right.
All right. So also joining us in the chat room now, Chris Johnson, our Pensacola hookup and Emerald Coast Howl chapter representative. Good evening. Yeah, Matt's also saying the Jackson Big Rig. That thing, it looks like a remodeled fishing dive. That sucker is huge. But lots of go ahead.
Beast.
Yeah, it's like what, 36 inches wide or so?
37. It's absolutely massive, but it's meant, you know, and I guess I can say this now, is that when Jackson has been looking for a boat that, you know, you can not only paddle but stand in, and stand in from the very beginning, it doesn't matter what experience level you were, that you could, you know, use it to fish in, standing. And, you know, they were bouncing around a ton of ideas, and this is what they finally landed on. You know, stability is just insane on it. And, yeah, it's going to be a great boat for those that do a lot of standing or want to stand and they're just starting off, or even if you're, you know, experienced. And it's really going to be a great fly platform for those that are going to be able to stand, put their line basket right on the standing bar there, and you know, do their thing. It's going to be a really great boat.
And what's the length on that boat? Is it a 14?
No, the length, because it's still in prototype form. So the width could change, and the length right now is between 12 and 13 feet.
All right. You're back with us, Chuck. Sound check.
Yo.
All right, sounds better.
Sorry about that.
No worries. So, yeah, we were just in your absence there. We were saying you should have seen the big big rig, the Jackson Big Rig is out now.
Yeah, I saw that boat. We were talking. Predator took best of show for kayaks or whatever. It was up against, again, the Kilroy from Jackson and the New Canoe 10, the Frontier.
Right.
I was kind of surprised that, you know, of the other boat manufacturers, those were the only three that were put into the new product showcase. Diablo and our good friend Thomas over there, Diablo, they came out with a new rotomolded version of his boat.
Right.
So they're still going to offer the other one as well, but the rotomolded version is a little bit more true kayak look to it. Basically the same boat. There's a little bit different. There's a few differences in the hatches and things like that, but that boat's going to retail for $9.99, which I think is a brilliant idea on Diablo's part, because it seems that the trend is going up in price, up in price, up in price. Even the new prototype boat from Jackson is supposed to retail more than the Kuda. So, you know, I don't know what – I'm not real sure what the mentality of the kayak world is on that side of the thing as far as continuously putting out boats that cost more and more and more. I think that those that are capitalizing on that – entry-level market, I think, are going to have a better first quarter next year in sales. That's just my opinion. But Freedom Hawk was there. Obviously, as we said, Jackson was there. Hobie, of course, was there. So it was pretty well represented, for sure.
And what about no good entry boats, huh? These are all high-priced. You know, $9.99, that's $1,000 in my book. And, you know, so I guess they're just saying, well, let them buy the Wally World and Big Box Store Special for $600, and then they'll, you know, after a year or so, they'll come back and get a new boat from us, huh?
Well, Native kind of, I think, in my, again, just in my opinion, I think Native pretty much owns the market as far as the big name companies are concerned in the entry level boat category, because you got the Redfish, and if you buy that boat as a non angler, you can get a 14 footer non angler for like $6.99.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the price is great. I mean, why would you go to Walmart or go to Dick's Sporting Goods or something like that and buy, you know, a boat for just a couple $100 cheaper when you can spend the extra, you know, $100 to $200 and get something like a Redfish 14, which is a great boat.
Mm-hmm.
I did forget one manufacturer that was there. And actually, I just stood back and watched the reception that they got, and it was pretty impressive. The Feel Free kayak line with the Mokins, those were pretty well received, it seemed, at ICAST. As everyone knows, Hobie didn't have anything new to show at ICAST, but that's not to say there's nothing new coming out from Hobie. Outdoor retailers coming up, and I think that they were saving some things for outdoor retailer that should change things a little bit in the world of Hobie. Nothing major, but you know, just a few differences, I guess.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, Jackson had a good representation of their boats there at the show. Drew Gregory, Jameson, Brooks, and, of course, Marty and Dave Blanding, the whole crew were out there. And it was cool to see those guys and spend some time with them and kind of pick their brain on the new boat and check that thing out. It's pretty interesting looking. It's definitely Jackson-ish as far as, you know, extra storage capacity and, you know, things like that. It'll be interesting to see what the final product of that boat looks like and how it'll paddle.
Right.
But other than that, I mean, you had Yak Gear and Railblazer that was there. They had a booth there. There was a new stakeout pole company called Swivel Stick, I think is what it was. They were there. Obviously, the big, big thing that was released, and some people are laughing at it, other people like myself are taking it a little bit more seriously, the new PowerPole Micro that was released from PowerPole won Best of Show, so they destroyed everybody in that side of things. So that's a cool accessory for somebody to stick on the back of a larger kayak if you want to be able to, you know, stop yourself and anchor in shallow water without having to manually do it.
Right.
There's been some discussion on some of the forums and some of the boards and stuff about that particular product. And I'll tell you what, out of everything that was at ICAST that I wanted to go look at for the outfitter store, that was probably on the top three of my list of things to go and actually put hands on and check it out, see how quiet it was and everything else. And it's deadly quiet. I mean, you could barely hear the thing running. It runs off of a battery pack, or you can hardwire it into a battery. The rechargeable battery pack gets you about 100 uses of the up and down motion for a day. So that was pretty cool. Easy to attach a pack on your kayak with just one bolt.
Right.
Price point's going to be up there. It's going to be around $600. It'll work with any three-quarter inch stakeout pole as well, which is kind of cool. You don't have to necessarily buy theirs. While theirs is 8.5 foot and has a little screw-in adapter in the top of it, so you can, you know, mount a GoPro, mount a light, do whatever you want to do at the top of that thing. It's pretty slick. The whole unit weighs about 7 pounds. Yeah, so I was impressed with it. It was kind of funny because between Jackson and Hobie, each booth had one of them mounted on the back of a boat. So Jackson had it mounted on the back of that new boat, and Hobie had it mounted on the back of a PA. And then Jackson actually had a big tuna completely wrapped in the nice vinyl wrap with the power pole all over it. And they had one hanging from the ceiling with it attached to the back of it to kind of show people as they walk by, you know, this is it going up and down or whatever.
Right.
But, that was pretty cool, man. That was probably one of the cooler things I saw at the show as far as accessories are concerned. But, you know, talking to some of the rod and reel manufacturers, it was interesting to hear that there's actually a push to want to start developing kayak rods and more kayak-type specific gear. So definitely pretty cool.
And Did Yak Tak bring out anything? I know he's been a while back. They were talking about a new rod holder, the Zuka or something like that. Did Ram take that or what?
Yeah.
Did that come out?
Yeah, Luther was there. He was there more or less, I guess, just walking around and making contacts and stuff, as he usually does at ICAST. But got to talk to him for a little while. That was pretty cool. But, yeah, the Ram, the new Ram rod holder that they've all worked together on, they had it in the Ram booth. And got to talk to the folks from Ram. In fact, they'll be on my show next week. I'll have the folks from Ram on the show talking about some of their new products and stuff. Yeah. I mean, Chad Hoover was there wandering around, and, you know, it was cool. Jim Sammons was there as well. So, you know, it's always interesting to see what those guys are looking at. You know, I kind of, you know, followed in behind a few of them just to kind of see where they were going, what they were checking out, what their interests were. And, you know, it's all the same old kind of stuff.
No good scoop, man? No secrets, revealed?
No secrets from any of those guys revealed to me anyways. I tell you what, I got to shack up with Adam Hayes. We shared a hotel room there, and one of the cool things about that was I was kind of, I don't know if I was invited per se or if I more or less invited myself, but I joined in on a little conversation that he had with the guys from Kayak Fish Magazine and Kayak Angler Magazine. And was kind of listening to the, you know, basically the three head honchos of the industry as far as websites and that kind of stuff are concerned, listening to what they were talking about from the show, and then also to plans that, you know, all three of them may or may not have for the future to work together on certain certain deals and stuff. So it was pretty interesting, man. It was definitely very heavily kayak driven for sure. Most of the booths, I mean, Mike Ortego with Tackle Whips showed off a bunch of his new designs, especially the ones for the Hopi boats and the Jackson boats. So yeah, I was actually kind of surprised, like I said, that there was that much coverage in the kayaking world. It was it's interesting to see how fast it's going more and more mainstream every year. Next year with ICAST being down here in Orlando, I can't imagine how many, you know, kayak booths they'll be there.
Yeah. So, and it sounds good. I mean, it's time. I think I think there's plenty of room for growth. I think the kayak angling industry is just rocking the house, and I think it's upsetting. And well, not necessarily upsetting, but it's probably just changing the way people think about fishing. You know, I mean it. Every time I go out now, I see people in kayaks. Maybe not necessarily fishing, but I see a lot more kayaks out on the water and stuff. So it's a great entry level to get into a boat and get out there. And people are seeing that you can do a lot more things out of the kayak than they thought was possible. So very cool.
I'm looking in your chat room there, and I saw Chris Johnson was saying something about it would be noisy to go to your scupper holes, talking about the power pole.
Yeah.
It was funny. The first thing I said to the guys from PowerPole about the unit was, please, please, please tell me you are not trying to promote this to be a unit that's going to go through a scupper hole, because that's going to do nothing but lead to damage and issues down the road for both you and the manufacturers. The customers are going to get ticked off because, as we all know, the scupper hole is the weakest point on any kayak, except for a pro angler or some of the Hobie boats that there's actually a reinforced tube that's set inside that boat. But, you know, I would definitely not convince or try and tell anybody to stick it through the scupper hole. And when I asked them that, they said no. In fact, we're going to definitely put something in print in the instructions for those using it in a kayak situation to not use it that way. So there you go.
Yeah, I think the only kayak manufacturer I know that has anything that goes in the scupper holes is Hobie. Everybody else will void your warranty if you crack a scupper for putting something in there and stuff. But
right,
yeah. So I see we've got Tennessee Creek Bridges and R. Lee has joined us. A couple of guests out there. If you want to use your your social media login. You can log in and join in the chat room there and pass along info. We're chatting with Redfish Chuck, our Monday night host with Monday Night Kickoff with Redfish Chuck, and he's just back from Vegas and ICAST 2013, giving us the inside scoop on what's new coming out on the market, and very cool, very good information there. Chuck, I think it's cool, man. And so, do you find some cool stuff? You're going to be the man shop going to be starting to come together there at in Titusville?
Yeah, you know, the whole reasoning behind me going out to the show, honestly, was just to kind of reestablish the connections that I had working in the tackle industry over a year and a half ago. So, you know, seeing some of the reps and some of the manufacturers that I know on a personal level and trying to, you know, just kind of put the bug in their ear of what I'm doing. And, man, it was received really, really well, and I was really excited about that. And I didn't do any buying while I was out there. Actually, it's a lie. The only thing that I bought for the shop is kind of silly, but I travel all the way out to Vegas, and I ordered 6 magazines from the Drake to be sent to the store, so a whopping $12 sale. But, you know, right. It was No, it was good, man. You know, I got about 25 pounds worth of catalogs to bring back with me on my carry-on. And, you know, going through everything, I mean, there's so many products that I saw that can translate well over to the kayak industry. There's a couple new HD camera companies that are coming out. Again, some of the tackle bags and tackle storage systems and things like that were offered up by, like, even Kuma. So... And then the lure manufacturers, man, wow, they stepped it up. There's if you get a chance, go to Savage Gear. I think it's savagegear.com is their website. Check out some of their lures. And then, of course, Live Target. They came out with some pretty neat stuff, too, the bait ball and some of that other stuff you freshwater guys would probably, you know, drool over. So it was neat, man. It was a lot of fun. It's, you know, it's Vegas. It's ICAST in Vegas, so it can't be bad, right?
No. You stayed away from all those the one-armed bandits and stuff, right?
Let's just say I did business
uh-huh.
when I needed to do business, and then after the show hours were over, I got to hang out with some really cool people. Of course, my good buddy Mike Ortego and Adam and some of the other guys, the guys from Jackson, we all hung out together for, you know, quite a while. And but the partier of the weekend was probably Mr. Bill Terry from Orca Coolers. That guy had a good time, man, and it was fun to hang around him. So,
all right, is that Greg or Rob? Somebody from 727 just logged in. I saw Greg dropped off. Did you make it home, Greg?
It's Rob.
Oh, it's Rob. Okay.
It's just Rob.
It's not just Rob. It's Rob. Rob DeVore, the bad cast.
What's up?
Fantastic videos and stuff like that.
Dude, I heard Chuck talking about that Live Target stuff, man. Dude, I'd be so afraid to get one of those things because that new shrimp that they got looked awesome. But, dude, I would put that thing in the trees so fast that I'd be like, I'd be chopping down mangroves to get that thing back.
I know, right? Spend $20 on a lure and then throw it up into mangroves?
Oh, yeah, but they look awesome, man. Those things are...
Sorry, Rob. My initial comment on Facebook about it being $11, I recanted that twice now. It's $11 if you want to buy the 3-pack of shrimp, or like it's close to that. Anyways, it's like $3.49 for one size for a single, $4.40 size, $5.49 or something like that for the big one or whatever. But as far as lifelike looking shrimp out of the water, I didn't see it in the water, but it definitely. I mean, you should have just cooked that thing up, man.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man. If a fish won't eat that thing, then, you know, it ain't eating anything. It won't even eat the real thing, probably.
Yeah. I know. I can throw a mirror lure that's not tied on to the line properly over an entire mangrove island. I proved that the adventure fishing tournament this past year. So. I hate to lose a nice lure like that. But anyways, cool, man. Well, Chuck, I appreciate it, man. It's good info, and hopefully we'll get some more folks joining us or coming in down and when it comes to Orlando next year. for those of you not familiar, ICAST is a premier fishing show, and it's only for media and industry reps and stuff for fishing. In the past few years, kayak fishing has become one of the more predominant sites at this show, and they rotate back and forth every year between Orlando and Vegas. So, cool, man.
I just heard that there's a possibility it might be in Orlando for up to 4 years.
Really? They're just going to keep it in Orlando?
Yeah, I'll tell you, while this show was probably double the size of the last show in Orlando, it took me a solid 2 days to walk the whole entire thing. The attendance as far as buyers and media folk was pretty far down from what I understood from some of the vendors. And I mean, it just didn't seem nearly as busy as Orlando show has been in the past. So I wouldn't doubt it if they kept it in Orlando for a while. I mean, this, you know, it's just one of those things. Florida, you know, I think you probably have more tackle shops per capita than anywhere else in the country. So
right.
It almost just makes sense to bring it here, you know. But I don't know. It'll be interesting. I know for a fact it's going to be here for the next 2 years anyways.
Right. Cool. And, yeah, I mean, where you go fishing in the desert out there? I mean, I know there's a lake and Hoover Dam and all that stuff, but but anyways, cool. And speaking of building up and growing in size and stuff like that, take a quick break here and listen to this.
Hey, man, what you doing, man? I'm just trying to find out about this boondoggle thing, man. Boondoggle? That's not good stuff, man. A friend of mine back in the hood smoked some of that stuff, man. It's not good. He was freaking out, man. Nah, man, I'm talking about a kayak fishing boondoggle, man. It's when a bunch of fishermen on kayaks get together to hang out, man. A bunch of kayak fishermen hanging out. Sounds fishy to me, man. How do these guys hook up? Well, I tried to look them up, but they don't have a website yet, man. No website, man. Bummer. Nah, man, but I hear they're trying to raise money to build one, man. Oh, yeah? I'm trying to raise some money, too, man. You want to buy some? Nah, man. But this kayak fishing boondoggle thing is really a good idea, man. I think we ought to help these guys out, man. All right, man. I'm with you. So where do we go, man? Oh, nah, man. We ain't got to go nowhere, man. Right now, we can help them out by checking out kayakfishingboondoggle.com, man. Okay, man. I can boondoggle on that, man. Don't get stuck in your kayak.
So for those of you who have seen, and I know some of you in the chat room have helped us out and put the little logo on, Boondoggle is not what it once used to be. I mean, from that first weekend at Little Talbot in Jacksonville, when we put a pin in the map and said, yo, anybody want to show up? We're going to fish. And then after a few adult beverages and some time, we came up and used the old military term of a boondoggle, which is a total waste of time, not the little plastic keychain thing. But that is how it started. During the New Deal era, there was about $3 million that was done in a training program to train folks how to make those little plastic laced keychains. And in the New York Times, they said, and they called them boondoggles. They said, definitely a boondoggle. It was a waste of time and money. So anyways, at Cars Park, if you weren't at the last one, I mean, we had over 300 people show up for the event. So, and Chuck did an outstanding job. All the folks who've been involved with the boondoggles have done an outstanding job, but it takes a little bit of time. It takes effort and all, and to make sure that people get all the information that's needed. We've talked to a couple of different, we had a couple of bidders, and we've got a group that's going to build us a website, and those things aren't cheap. It's several hundred hours of code writing and all. I mean, just like this upcoming boondoggle, 11 to 14 October at Big Lagoon State Park, there's money that has to be put up front so that we can lock down a campground that'll hold a couple hundred people. And then handling that money and reservation fees and stuff like that, It costs money, and we have a we're working with a group right now, and they're charging us a percentage of the fees taken for that, and then we've got to pay the state park for all of the sites once everybody's got their reservations in. So, so we're asking for your help to help us put that site together so that we can continue our support of great organizations like HOW, Heroes on the Water, and Casting for Recovery, and local charities when we can get involved and help folks out. That's what the Boondoggle is all about, other than just getting together and hanging out and enjoying everybody's company. And I know there's, you know, some folks have asked about the vendor village and all, and you know, the idea is still the same. We have a an area, the campground area, is completely separate from where we're going to be putting the vendor village. So you don't even have to go through vendor village if you don't ever want to. You can just hang out in the campground, and those of you in the primitive site are going to really enjoy it. There's a big area for just hanging out and setting things, setting a big campfire, and there's actually a movie site. So all of the video folks, Rob and R. Lee and all, it's really a cool idea. You'll be able, we'll put a projector out there to show videos at night in the primitive sites and stuff. So it's still the idea of the Boondoggle. It's still the thing about getting people together. But, you know, just like with splitting the atom, once it was out and there was an atom bomb, well, there's no going back. So the Boondoggle has grown to, you know, where we can't just, I guess, you know, if we had a Boondoggle in the Bahamas, there'd only be a few people show up because but I know that there would be folks who really wanted to show up, and if they couldn't afford a plane, they'd be paddling across the straits there. So, but that's what the Boondoggle website's all about. That's what we're trying to do. That's what we want to keep it going, and it's all going towards making a site better and making it easier for folks to join us and keeping those costs down as much as we can. So a little bit up front, and we're good to go. So there. Now, Rob.
Yo.
You going to bring a video couple for us to show at the Boondoggle, speaking of that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's on the agenda. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. there's like a little outdoor theater there, man. It's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I know I'll definitely have one done by then, by uh-huh. Boondoggle time. The second one is still, I'm still working on it.
Okay.
Still working on both of them, but they're in various stages, and it's like an everyday process, you know. So it's cool. Plus other stuff. I'm so busy, I can't even. I gotta like find time to mix in sleeping and eating.
You still have a day job too, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's starting to like really get in the way. And I'll tell you, with all the stuff I got going on, if I was getting paid for all of this stuff that I'm doing, and it's not any sort of like a ego trip or anything like that, I'd be doing pretty good right now, you know, if this was all I could do. So it's very, very good, and I love it. I get excited about it, man, as you know. So it's cool.
Go ahead.
This weekend, going to Melbourne for the always popular Smith Coast Kayak Anglers get-together there. Going to do some filming with Mike Kaneen and having a little barbecue out at Harry Goods and kayak fishing and all that stuff. Man, it's going to be fun.
And that sounds like a lot of fun, yeah. Hopefully the weather holds for you. Just to let you know, yeah. I'm not planning on going to Florida this weekend, so it should be good.
Yeah, right. You're probably sitting there with, like, your foot over the border, you know.
Yeah. I don't even.
Rain, no rain.
It's like that too when I go to the store, you know. If I think like, okay, I'm done, and I head up to the checkout. I mean, when I walk into a store, usually all the cashiers are standing out in front of their cash registers waiting for somebody to come up with something to check them out. And yeah. You know, so now I have to kind of do a fake towards the cash register, and then everybody jumps in line in front of me, and then I'll go back and get the milk. So by the time I come back, they've all checked out, you know. So Florida, I'm going to have to start doing some sort of a feint there, you know, maybe be incognito or something when I head south. So
come in through Alabama, coming through Alabama.
Yeah, I'm going to have to try
Joba,
that.
Joba won't see you coming in that way.
Yeah, right.
So. No, I was thinking, you know, when I go to the store, dude, it's like I always apologize to the people behind me because I'm like, because the person in front of me is going to have like a third-party check and like an expired ID and all this stuff, you know. So I always tell them, and sure enough, it always happens. So,
so I was just typing. Go ahead.
Did you get washed out on 4th of July when weren't you like in Panama City or something?
Yeah, I tried to go down to Panama City to hook up with Stan and Holly in their new location there. For those of you who know Scuba Stan from the Boondoggle and from being on with us here, he was picked up as the new director of marinas for Panama City and St. Andrews. Doing real well down there. Seen him on TV a couple of times so far now, getting his face out there and having a good time. But, yeah, as soon as we got, I think it was just after we crossed the state line, it was like, you know, one of those fire engines that they have at the airport with the water cannon on the front of it. You know, that's what it seemed like we were driving into. And it let up a little bit on Friday afternoon. We had Stan and Holly out. We were staying at the Naval Support Activity there in Panama City. And they came out. We had a little picnic. And just about dark, the rain moved in again. And I think it was somewhere a total of about 14 inches of rain for the weekend.
So, yeah.
So
crazy.
But, yeah, there was a question in the chat room a second ago. Chris Johnson asked, you know, what if we don't meet the website goal with the Boondoggle support? And as I typed in there, and I'll put it out for those who are maybe listening to the podcast later on, we're going to keep trying. If we don't make the goal first time around, we'll keep trying. And we've worked out a deal with the developers to build the website in phases. So we actually should be getting started here pretty soon on the first phase. So we'd like to make the whole goal. But they're willing to work with us, you know. They're actually I think maybe show up at a Boondoggle, so they're believers themselves. And certainly it takes a lot of time. I think there's several hundred hours of code writing and stuff like that. I mean, it'll be everything. It'll be the shopping cart and all that kind of stuff. So
if you don't make the goal, just, you know, take the money and like get as much sweet water as you can, and then bring it to Boondoggle.
Like that old Pabst Blue Ribbon commercial, right? You know, what are we drinking here? You know, whatever.
Load up the old KFR big old. Did you get a new truck? Because did the Dodge or the old Ford or whatever that was that you had finally give up the ghost?
It didn't die, but I lost my confidence in it. Cam timing sensor died on it on our way back from Memorial Day. We were down in Pensacola, and it died on us, and we spent 6.5 hours on the side of the road on Memorial Day.
God.
And it died right, you know, when I got off the road, you know, it was just perfect. There was a dead armadillo under the door, so,
Wow. Where was the clash there, too?
it was pretty nasty, man. But, go ahead.
That's cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, so it pulls the Boondoggle mobile. It doesn't have any problem with it, and we can throw the motorcycles in the back now. In fact, we'll probably be bringing those to the Boondoggle this year too. So
I got
to
tell
awesome.
You what I'm doing next weekend, dude. You're gonna freak out.
Okay.
Next weekend, I'm flying to Nolens, y'all, and going to be in Delacroix, Louisiana, and Venice area filming. I got to film all of the promotional material for Slayer Lure Inc. And so we're going down there. Yeah. So
I was freaking out.
Absolutely, man. And Chris Sensi's promising me that it's like perfect weather and forecast so far. So don't go to Louisiana next weekend. Okay,
man. I'll...
But supposedly, you know, sight fishing 50-inch reds, you know,
with all the stuff,
and standing in a tower boat filming. So that's the plan anyway. So I can't wait to see that, dude. I got a polarizer for my my lenses, and it is like it's like wearing polarized sunglasses. That and an ND filter on my lenses, and it's like wearing polarized glasses with your camera. It's awesome.
Nice. Very cool. Awesome. Oh my gosh, Chris Johnson just posted. Snapper season will be open when we're in Pensacola during the boondock.
That's
first
awesome.
To the 21st of October. Okay, so I guess we're going to have to work out a mothership trip. Or Chris, is there a way we can get folks to paddle off? Do we just paddle across the intercoastal and drag the boats out across the Gulf Shores? And is there a way we can get out there to fish for snapper there, or are we going to have to get a mothership? Give him a chance to write that one in.
Wow,
I think he's listening on
awesome.
The app. Yeah.
Snappers will die.
Yeah.
Dude, you get into them there. I mean, the last time I was able to fish for snapper in Pensacola, you couldn't catch anything but red snapper. So,
awesome. I see, like, you know, Brandon Barton and what's his face? I'm like really bad with names that live up there, and they're pulling. All I see is they're pulling these giant. They got to be like in the 35 inch class size red snappers, man, in kayaks. But you know, they're in Panama City area, you know. But
right,
dude, that's doable. That's awesome.
Yeah. So cool. We get a little inshore, maybe work out something for offshore, and get some folks into some red snapper. The Sunday potluck might be pretty interesting, huh? And if not, if we can't get into any fish, there's always Joe Patty's, and which is a great seafood shop there in the local area. So awesome, man.
What about Triggerfish, Chris? Are Triggerfish open then?
It's in 2 to 3 miles offshore, easy for snapper. And give him a second for the triggers. I don't know if there's a close season on triggers in the North Gulf. So give him a second there.
Red snapper and pork chop.
Yeah. Yep, Pensacola.
Yeah. Yeah, chum, if you were fishing in 1,200 foot of water, I seriously doubt you caught red snappers. It may have been a subspecies of red snapper, but it wasn't a true American red in 1,200 foot.
It was probably like a queen snapper or something.
Yeah.
Well, we get the red snappers out here when we do the deep drop trips offshore, and they're American reds, but we're fishing over the edge. You know,
yeah,
600 plus foot is where we find them. They're on pinnacles usually.
Yeah.
You know, pinnacles are right up to about anywhere from 750 to 550 in depth. But we find them out here, up in Virginia.
Cool.
Very rare, very cool. But they're there.
Yeah. So, awesome. So, yeah. I guess Matt was saying 50 feet for the snapper.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Let's run through, man. We're running up on the hour here. Mark, what's your plan for the weekend, man? Got a trip or...
We've got... right now, I've only got... I've got a full day trip tomorrow, and then I've got just half days for this weekend at this point right now, but that could all change in a phone call. I'm just ready for September to roll around. That's when my season basically dies off. My working time dies off, and I can start focusing more on catching fish on my own.
Right.
But one quick question, Chip. What's the deal with the musical guest for that Saturday night?
Musical guests for Saturday night? Well, we've got a couple of folks that have volunteered to entertain us. A friend of mine from work, Karen Womack, has an album out that she just got out. It's available on iTunes. Karen Womack is the name of the album. But she's going to join us, and her friends, they all went out and bought kayaks here recently. They're excited. They're registered. They're going to be joining us, and she's going to be singing some of the songs from her event or from her album on Saturday, maybe even Friday, around the fire at the. She'll be staying in. I said, so you get a RV site with electricity? No, no, we're staying in a primitive site. She's wanting to camp. She's a good old country girl from down around Vidalia, Georgia. So, great singer.
Man.
So she's going to join us for that. I think they're even going to try to do a little duo or a duet between the clone and her. Maybe a little jazz number. He's going to bring his sax and play for us. I think also somebody, Spencer, was talking about if we can come up with a keyboard, he'd be happy to play, and a couple of folks bringing guitars. So, Rob, that's an acoustic guitar, though, man. None of that heavy metal stuff that you and Wheeler.
Hey, I'm good with all that stuff, too, man. It's all good. But Spencer Jones, man, that guy, he's the man. He's actually doing some soundtrack work for the Everyday Push album or movie. So we've been kind of working on some stuff together. So it's he's the man. He's up in Wisconsin, dude.
Awesome, and he's going to be joining us for the Boondoggle also. So,
absolutely.
So it should be fun.
Meet that guy.
Should be fun. A little bit of jamming out there, and we got a big pavilion that's going to be available. The vendor village. If you're interested, if you know some vendors, hint hint, Chuck, that'll want to join us and give us some wares. We're also looking for folks from the industry who are willing to. Do some demonstrations, maybe some learning opportunities for folks. I know that was one of the things we, after the last Boondoggle, we put out a survey of everybody, and we got quite a good response, and folks were saying, yeah, cool, workshops would be cool. They'd also like to see some folks from the industry show up, so I know Pensacola Kayak and Sail is going to join us there. We've got Tommy Head Jigs is going to be in the area and have some prize packs there. And I know that the Howe Group is going to be there, and we're going to support them. So it should be fun. And I know. Go ahead.
I spoke to a number of folks out at ICAST about it, and there was quite a few that were very interested. I gave them a card too, I'm just waiting on emails, and there's some that I emailed already to kind of push them towards you, Mark, and Adam to kind of get hold of you or what have you. I know Bill Terry was interested from Walker Coolers, and I think it was Guideline Eye Gear sunglasses. They were pretty interested as well. So there's quite a few, actually. I think there were several manufacturers I spoke to while I was out there at ICAST that were very interested in the Boondoggle, who had heard about it prior to me even saying anything, so it was good.
Very cool. And I know that you're aware of what's going on, and I kind of gave a hint on Mark's show last night, but it's probably not going to be in the next 12 months, maybe, but a little bit further down the road. You might need a passport for a future Boondoggle. So we might be going international. So keep your ears out for that. So sounds like somebody's chasing either Rob or Chuck with a beard trimmer or something in the background there. So awesome.
Well, Chuck trimmed his beard up, so. You know, I don't know, but I'm starting to look like Duck Dynasty and ZZ Top here.
Yeah. Matt's saying he's always wanted to fish in New Zealand. So I got the opportunity to fish in Australia, Matt, and the crocodiles are just killer, man. So it's very difficult. So Chris is
Speaking
working
of
on
Australia. I threw my name in the hat with Hobie. Kind of, I guess, force the issue, and I was like, hey, I don't know if you guys still have any room left for that Australia World Championship, but if you do, I have a passport.
There you go, man.
Free time, so
that would be cool,
right?
I doubt
I'll make it this trip, but yeah, heck yeah, it would be awesome.
That'd be cool.
Wow.
So very awesome.
Some weird fish over there too.
Yeah. So So, but all right. Well, Chuck, your weekend, man, what's your game plan? You're back in town. You're going to hit the water, get out on the lagoon?
Yeah, well, not the lagoon. The lagoon's still kind of mucked up a little bit with that brown algae, so don't really want to mess with that too much. But I got to work tomorrow there at Kayaks Webo, and then Saturday, as Rob said, we're having a Space Coast Kayak Angler get-together. I'm super excited that we reached 350 members of our group. I think we're at 351 now. But so that'll be a lot of fun. So Saturday morning, I'm going to do some fishing. I don't think I'm going to drive all the way down to Melbourne and drop in at 6 in the morning and fish with those guys down the creek. I think there's just too many people fishing the creek. So a couple of us are going to fish the no-motor zone before heading down and have a good day down there hanging out with Rob and all those folks down there in Melbourne at Very Good Outdoor Shop. So it'll be fun. And then Sunday, I'm moving boats out of my new store. So we're moving kayaks from one store to the storage unit so I can start getting things going.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Rob, you're going to be working too. So did I get to you,
yep.
Rob? Did you tell us what your weekend was going to be on? Cool, man.
Yeah, I'll be there, dude.
So, yeah, Matt's saying, can you bring a PA on a plane? No, I don't think so. Not unless it's your own. So, and so yeah, I guess I'll stay away from Florida. So you guys have good weather, and me and Tommy will go raise some cane in the low sodium pond here locally if the weather holds up for us. But one more time for the folks that don't know what a boondoggle is.
Boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? Is it a tournament? No, it's not a freaking tournament. A boondoggle is just an event where a bunch of kayak anglers come together for a weekend of fun and kayak fishing. We all get together and fish, check out industry-related products, have a big dinner, and swap a fishing story or two. What's that? Sounds like a useless waste of time? Yeah, it is. So what? So get your butt up off the couch and get to a boondoggle. Bring yourself. Bring your family. Heck, bring your hairy-ass brother-in-law. I don't care. Just get to a boondoggle. Check out yakangler.com/boondoggle for more information.
And hopefully with the help of folks and a lot of code writing, we'll soon have kayakfishingboondoggle.com up and running. Also, if you guys are using or if you're not using, make sure you get it. We just uploaded the new an updated version of the app for iPhone, so there should be an update there. I'm not sure if the update went out for the Android yet or not, but you can check on that. But we do have an app for both the iPhone and Android, and pretty soon Matt Trucks, our Yak Chum, is letting me know that we should be up and running with our stream here and a Skype phone number. A regular one you can dial from any phone, or you can Skype in, and we're going to be asking folks to call in and give us fishing reports, and we're going to be streaming those live 24/7 as soon as we start getting enough folks calling in, and we'll post that phone number on our Facebook page and on Yak Angler, and you'll hear it up here. But that'll be coming up soon. And if nothing else, you've got the app to... there's a post, a wall there, and every now and then we go in and we look at that. And it also streams live for our shows. And you can also listen to all the podcasts. If you're really bored and have insomnia, you can listen to some of the early shows and listen to us ramble on and on and on. So, anyways, we're out. Thanks for joining me. Chuck's gone. Mark's gone. Rob, we'll see you. Thanks for joining us tonight. Tight lines this weekend. And yep. I'm Chip Gibson. It's Kayak Fishing Radio. We'll see you next week. Join us Monday night as Chuck kicks off the week with his show. And Tuesday night with the Double L. And Wednesday back to Mark Wheeler, and I'll be back here on Thursday. Good night, everybody. It's tight lines. Take a kid fishing and wear your PFD. I'm gone.